Morning, everybody. Now, if you haven't been with us for a while, or you haven't quite caught up, we're doing a series on 1 Peter on Sunday morning. So this is week two of 1 Peter. So a little bit of a background. It's a letter, and it was written by... Anyone wish to hazard a guess? Anyone brave? A letter written by Peter. Very good. I knew we're a highly intelligent church. Okay, very good. So it was a letter, a real letter that went to real people, written by Peter. He wrote it around 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And it was principally written to kind of little pockets of Christians who lived outside of Jerusalem, kind of the hub, lived outside of Jerusalem in Roman-controlled provinces and Roman-controlled territories. So it was principally written for them. And there was one guy described that letter as a handbook for God's ambassadors or God's representatives living in hostile areas. So that kind of gives you a bit of a picture about what it was like for these pockets of Christians living in these Roman-controlled areas. They were living in hostile areas, and it was quite a challenge for them as Christians, for a lot of them, living for God. Their moral code, you know, living God's ways, was a lot of times at conflict with those who they were living amongst. So they got hassled for that. To sort of make a stand and say that you were a follower of Jesus, you were a Christian, often brought heaps of difficulties for you. Some major problems in life, just because you were a follower of Jesus. And about probably hard to know, but maybe 5 years on from when this letter was written, things got increasingly dangerous to be a Christian. Many people suffered harshly for their faith, and lots died for their faith when Nero sort of came to the fore, including Peter. So when this letter arrived to those kind of pockets of Christians scattered out in the Roman provinces, it was really welcomed. It was like a light, you know, a beacon they could grab hold of and read, and hey, this is for us living amongst this hostility for a light for them. And for those, you know, if you think those 5 years on, who were suffering heaps for their faith, they could kind of open this letter again and read it again and again. And it would have been so good to open it and particularly read the verses that we're looking at today. They could have grabbed hold of these verses and it would have been of tremendous help for them. And maybe life's a little bit tough for you at the moment. I don't know, maybe this week hasn't been great, or the last month, or maybe the whole year hasn't been too good. So the verses we're looking at is for you as well. And you don't know what's in the future, so if your week's been fine, you never know what's ahead, so they're for you as well. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going from verse 3. And maybe we could take the perspective this morning of somebody that 5 years on, who was suffering heaps for being a Christian. Maybe look at it from their perspective. So they've just opened the Bible again. And they start at verse 3. Oh dear, we might have... Can you just move it? There we go. And it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And you could maybe imagine them thinking, well, really? my week hasn't been so good. I don't really, if I'm honest, feel like praising God with the week that I've just had. But Peter carries on and he gives them a really good reason for praising God, despite how their week's been. He's kind of saying, put your head up a bit from your troubles and look at it from this kind of perspective. And he carries on. Well, praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because of Almighty God's great mercy, these small pockets of Christians scattered in this Roman Empire, they're totally acceptable to God. Wow. I mean, those around them may not be, but they are. They've had sins forgiven, and they have been born into God's family. You know, how special are they? Even in amongst those troubles, that's something to be joyful about. They're part of God's family, born into God's family. I mean, how special is that? Almighty God, he didn't have to allow his son to come down and suffer for them. His son was the creator of the world. He was the centerpiece of heaven. Sort of all eyes were on him and worshipped. And yet God the Father allowed him to come down to earth to suffer horrifically for them. You know, none of them deserved it, but he did. And look at the position they're in now, part of God's family. You know, two families, the one at home, but now part of God's family. Man, that's something to be celebrated no matter what your week has been like. But there's even more than that. And Peter, if you remember, though he sent this letter, he's addressing these people as individuals. You know, not just as a collective bunch of... This letter was for them. So more than being born into God's family, more than being 100% acceptable to God, he's saying to them, remember, you guys have got an inheritance waiting for you in heaven. Hey, look, and we have an inheritance that it's kept in heaven for you. Well, actually, that's not quite right. Ah, that's better. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. Not just any inheritance, but a priceless inheritance. You can imagine Peter when he's writing this letter, you know, with the Holy Spirit's help, trying to come up with a description about what this inheritance is. No, that's not going to work. What can I use? Maybe some monetary value? No, that's not going to work. So, between Peter and the Holy Spirit, they just settled on a priceless inheritance, because there was no earthly comparison that they could even begin to kind of build the picture of what this inheritance is like. So they just simply said priceless. You know, that's their future. These little pockets of Christians scattered around who were suffering heaps, part of God's family, but also there's this inheritance waiting for them. Everything that God had promised to them and everything he hadn't mentioned to them would all come together when they got to heaven. How cool is that? And it will be perfect. This inheritance will be perfect. It couldn't be better. It says, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled. You know, there's nothing more they could receive that would make it any better. No, by God's standard, it is pure. It is the most pure inheritance possible by God's standard. And undefiled. You know, there's nothing you could kind of pick a hole with it. And it's waiting for them. Nothing's left out. And it'll be exactly as God has planned it. It's beyond the reach of any change or decay. It won't decay over time. You know, if you live to your 90 and get to heaven, it won't have decayed. You know, your great-grandchildren, when they get there, it won't have decayed. It won't be like, you know, you might inheritance your parents' house or something, and you haven't seen it for a while, and you go and look at it, and all the paint's peeling, and the thing's falling apart, and the windows are, you know, all stuck, and nothing like this. This is beyond the reach of change and decay. That's the inheritance that Almighty God had for these people, these little pockets of Christians. You know, that was their future. Man, didn't matter what your week's like when you got that to kind of look ahead to. But wait a minute. Something that, you know, I can grasp hold of, that's their future, but that is our future too. If you're part of God's family, if you've had sins forgiven, accepted that free gift of forgiveness, then you're part of God's family, and that is your future as well. And all that God has promised will come to you as well. And everything he hasn't mentioned to us through his word in the Bible will come to us. That's our inheritance. But it is kind of hard for, well, my finite brain anyway. It's hard for our finite brains to kind of comprehend what is ahead for us. What we kind of think, you know, when we imagine, yeah, it's just hard. Have a look at this. This is somebody, I won't explain it. We'll just, Matt, can you just whip up the sound there, mate? Oh. Hang on. We'll just go back. Didn't quite catch it. He's been given colourblind glasses. He's colourblind and been given glasses. And I wonder if, kind of when I think of what's ahead, that inheritance for me, I'm kind of looking at it black and white. Maybe I take it a bit for granted that that's my future, or I've lost that sense of wonder about what's ahead. Maybe I look in black and white when I should be looking in colour. You know, that's ahead for me. And when we get there, colour won't even begin to describe what it's like. That'll be just a useless comparison. But, you know, that is our future. That is their future, those little pockets of Christians who this was delivered to. That's their future, but it's ours as well. I shared this at home group, and I may have Sunday morning, I can't remember, but I went to a funeral a few years back in the church I kind of grew up in, and it was a funeral for Helen, who was in her 20s. She was an only child, a much-loved only child, and her parents were just absolutely devastated. You know, she was, if you're probably honest, she was the reason that they lived. So when she was killed, it was just heartbreaking for them. And her dad was an incredibly shy man, and certainly not a public speaker, and he just made it firmly clear that he wouldn't take part in the funeral. You know, it would just be too much for him to do a tribute or anything. So there were the formal tributes, or the organised tributes, and then there was a time for open tributes, and a number of people stood up and walked forward to the lectern and talked, and then there was a bit of a gap. And then there was a bit of a rummage, or a bit of movement from the congregation, and it was Helen's dad, and he stood up really slow and kind of rocked on his feet and cleared his throat, and he looked up and he simply said, "If we could see Helen now, we wouldn't wish her back." And with that he sat down. And they weren't harsh words, they were words from a dad whose heart had been ripped out. But he knew where his daughter was, and he had a little inkling about what heaven was like. And he said, "If we could see heaven, see Helen now, we wouldn't wish her back." And with that, he sat down. You know, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And he put it better than any theologian could ever describe what heaven is like. You know, if he could see his daughter now, what she was experiencing, she can stay there. That's okay. You know, and that's our future. That's the future of those little pockets of Christians, and ours as well, that we can really grab hold of. And, you know, no wonder Peter says, "Now we live in great expectation." Because there were a lot of those pockets of Christians who had this great expectation what was ahead. But I guess, you know, what say it doesn't happen? What say I'm part of God's family? I've been, you know, born again, as Peter put it, and it doesn't happen? What say there's a malfunction between me leaving this earth and getting to heaven? What say the kind of beam me up Scotty machine fails and I don't get there? Well, what say I get there and they've run out of inheritances, they're one short, or maybe Satan decides, right boys, we're losing this, let's just focus on one person and we'll take them out. I mean, and what say that's me? Well, Peter has a bit of an answer for this in the next verse. And he says, "And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." Now, it's going to happen. Almighty God is standing guard. It's going to happen. All systems are go. There's no question that this inheritance is guaranteed for us, for those pockets of Christians who it was originally written to, and for us as well. And no wonder Peter says, sort of in verse 6, "So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead." Well, again, you think, well, that's all very well, but what about me? What I'm suffering? What about the week I've had? Well, again, Peter says, these trials that you're suffering right now, they're actually going to enhance what you are going to experience in heaven. This will add value to it. Verse 7, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. When I got made redundant after a very long time in one place, you know, there were kind of some decisions to make to say, well, God, this ain't good. I think you could have done better. Okay. I'm on my bike. You know, I could have walked away from God. I kind of knew that there was possibly, you know, 80%, 70% there was another job, but, you know, I could have done that. But I decided not, and Sue and I, we got together. We said, right, it's Sue, myself, and God, and we're going to walk together through this, whatever it is. 18 months later, I got a job sort of the next day after that. 18 months later, happened again. Redundancy. I mean, and I could have quite easily, well, I don't think I could have, but, you know, the one option was to say, okay, Lord, enough's enough. Okay, I'm not impressed. And I'm on my bike this time and walk away. But no, I took the other option. Sue and I took the other option and said, this time, don't have a clue what the future held. Honestly, I just don't have a clue. So I'm going to really trust you this time. I mean, really trust you. It's you, me, and Sue, and we're definitely, you know, walking close to see what the future holds through this time of, you could call it suffering or unknown times. But look at this next verse in 7. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise, glory, honour on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. It will bring you much praise and glory and honour. You know, I don't have a clue how this works. Maybe there's an announcement for all to see. This is Bob, and he suffered this, this, and this, but all through it he stayed close to God. As a result, he grew to be more like Jesus. Give him a hand. You know, it might be something like that. I don't know. It might be given some extra crowns or something. Or it may be just the look on the Lord Jesus' face when you first see him. You know, he knows, and it's just that look. Good on you. I don't know. But those who are suffering and stick close to God, grow as a result, it is going to enhance that inheritance, enhance that experience for them in heaven. So how cool is that? And we'll just finish with the next couple of verses. Verses 8 and 9. You know, it's like, when you read them, it's like Peter has put his arm around them as individuals and says, you know what? You're pretty special. I saw Jesus. I walked with him. I talked with him. But you guys haven't. And do you know what the reward for you is? All that God has promised will happen. And that's something that we can take on board. You know, we'll finish with this. We have something tremendous, a wonderful joy ahead that we can't even imagine at this point in time. You know, whatever we imagine it'll be like, whatever we receive, we won't do it justice trying to think about it in this time. But let's not look at it kind of with black and white eyes. Let's, as best we can, look at it with the perspective of colour and really grab hold of it and let that affect the way we live. Because it will happen. If you're being born into God's family, there is this inheritance for you. So let's really live in the light of that today. Let's have that as a constant reminder. That's our future. So let's live, you know, in the light of that today. Let's give thanks to God. Father God, we can only come, I guess, wondering about that future, just trying to comprehend it. We acknowledge that we'll never come close, we'll never begin, but we thank you for that. Not only did your son save us, give us an opportunity to become part of your family, but gave us a whole future. And how cool is that? So Father, we just ask, just remind us of that when life's tough. Just remind us of that too, and remind us to just stay walking with you, that we can live in the light of what's ahead. Amen.